Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we're going to be talking a lot of stuff with Bill O'Brien. So you want to call in 347-884-8125 and ask him some questions. He is a comedian and he's a funny guy. Right now we're doing the kind of different things. We are live in my studio over here in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin, and just want to welcome you guys and welcome to my show. And Billy, you here, both dudes? Are you here?
I'm here in the studio. In Wisconsin, under 18 feet of snow.
That's right. Do you get a hard time coming up here?
A hard time finding the studio. I drove around the block like 17 times. I go, there's like 20 feet of snow. They don't have nowhere else to snow. It's just December. We got like six more months of winter. Like, you must have a moose instead of a groundhog. In Pennsylvania, we got a groundhog. Like, they must have got a moose. Like, if he sees a shadow, we got like 8 months of snow. Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think so. I think
Punxsutawney moose.
Right. they go back in a hole or in a cave where they came from, and they see the shadow.
Yeah, I knew they live in caves, don't they? Moose. They're underground, like with beavers. They live in a lake. I don't know. Are those horns? They breathe out of them. I know that in Wisconsin, they have a car that has a moose on top of it.
Yep.
That drives around delivering pizzas.
Moose and
now, if you want to eat this pizza, go right ahead. But I don't really want to eat a pizza that comes to my house with a moose on top of the car. You know what I mean? Are those really sausages? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Is that freaking moose meat?
Exactly. And also, they have the like a buffalo on top of it. Have you seen that one?
Yeah. The buffalo, too.
Yeah, the buffalo.
And he got his tail up so you can see his asshole when he's driving down the highway.
That's right. He got a buffalo in there.
It's huge.
It is. I mean, I've seen a buffalo, but I don't think that's, it's not as big as a real one.
Did you ever notice, though, that the front license plate on that car is a Steeler, Pittsburgh Steeler license plate? The guy who owns Buffalo Phil's.
Oh, over here.
From Pittsburgh.
That beats me. I never pay attention to that.
Well, when you have an asshole looking at your face for 19 minutes driving down a parkway, you kind of like want to look for something else.
If you're like in a 5-hour traffic jam, you'd be staring right at it.
You'd be singing about assholes. You'd be talking about assholes.
You'd be straight up. So, Billy, have you done your put up your Christmas tree yet?
My Christmas tree. Yeah, we got the Christmas tree. I don't think that people, because they're starting to put up Christmas trees, like around Labor Day, and by fucking Christmas, I can't take it no more. You know what I mean? Christmas music since the 4th of July. I get sick of it. So we got the Christmas tree up. It looks good. I stole some bulbs. I couldn't find any, so I stole them. It's a nice tree. It reminds me of it's a real tree. You got some nice trees up here.
I got a real one.
When I was a kid, like, we didn't really, we had...
You got a Charlie Brown tree?
Fake trees. And I remember one of the trees being silver. And it had this...
Tinsel?
It was tinsels, but, more like razor blades. And it had this projector lamp instead of putting lights on the tree. Because I guess if you put lights with this aluminum stuff, it would actually glow red and burn your living room down. So it had a projector on it, and it would project four colors, purple, green, red, and blue. And it would go around in a circle, and your tree would go purple, green, red, and blue. And you would stare at it for hours, because at that time I was on LSD. And I was going purple, red, green, blue. And we were all like, isn't that amazing? We were like, technology, jeez, and crackers.
Now, are you into Christmas lights? I mean, I know that last year we had Christmas lights on outside. But this year I didn't get around to it.
I think I mentioned some about it the last time. You know, the first year I got married and everybody's all happy and we're like, you know, we're, you know, I'm holding the door for her still. I ain't farting in the car. You know, we're under the covers. You know, everybody's still kind of lovey-dovey. Like, I'm listening to about half of what she's saying.
That was like the first 3 years, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first year.
The first year. Okay.
Not even a year. 9 months. But in that time came Christmas, and I was all like, oh, you know, we can have a little baby. I'll put the Christmas trees, Christmas lights up on the house. And then my fat butt, man, going up there, trying to get the lights on, freezing cold. You know, I drove past that house the last time I visited Pittsburgh. Them lights are still up, because I wasn't going to take them down. That was like 7 years or 8, 9 years ago. Them lights are still up. Because there ain't no way. I unplugged them. I was like, well, they're out. Off, just pretend.
Yeah. So did you have a big house, like a tall house?
Well, at that time we had a pretty big house. We had an old 4-bedroom, so me and my wife could actually have our own bedrooms until we separated, and then I moved to the basement. So that was nice. You know, we're separated. I live in the basement. She turns off all the freaking heat. I'm down here. It's so cold that your tongue will stick to wood.
Oh, man. That is cold.
She comes down in the middle of the night, takes my blanket, hoping that I would die of hypothermia. Ain't that a sin? Like, isn't that in the Bible? Thou shalt not take a fat guy's blanket from the basement when it's already 11 degrees? You know what I mean?
Wow, that's horrible, man. So, I mean, as far as, like, have you done any shopping lately? I mean, I know that we talked about Black Friday.
You know, everybody freaks out, like, you know, Christmas shopping is such a hassle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that bad. I mean, I think the key to it is that you have to tell yourself, if you have a lot of shopping to do, you have to say, look, I'm going to devote the whole day to this.
Mm-hmm.
You take your time. You go slow.
We'll go early.
Don't hurry. Like parking spaces. Oh,
right.
There's never a parking space. I will sit in the lot until the guy in the first row pulls out. Even if he's in there for like 2 hours, I'll smoke 9 cigarettes, drink a pop, eat a hamburger, and wait for the guy to move, and I'll pull right in the first one.
Exactly.
You know?
Or just drive around. I mean, it's just like, they come and go, man.
Ah, man, you waste gas. Right. Think about it. I'm still tolerating a gallon.
Well, don't you hate that sometimes? When, you know, there's a spot, you know, and you go up there, and the little sucker just, like, steal your spot. And you're just, don't you hate that?
Get out and just, like, spit on the window or, you know, take the gas cap or something.
That's when
you always remember. And then you run into them at least 9 more times in the store, pretending like nothing happened, you know. You know, it was funny. I was in Walmart today. And I was thinking, I was in a great mood, you know. I just like, it was snowing, of course. Snows a foot every day here.
Yeah.
But it kind of was Christmassy, if you want to. And they have the, I think the audio manager is taking a sit back there. They're out of caffeine.
Gave him more soda.
Every coffee that he drinks, he sounds a little younger. So I think he's like 3 years old now or something. They have the, in Walmart now, they bring people back from the dead to work the door. So, you know, you have that person who's like, 107 years old.
Welcome to
World War. Cirrhosis of the liver. He's all yellow. He's wearing thongs in the snow. He's like, you know, he has no clue. He got an oxygen thing strapped to his back. And the machine was broken. You know, the machine that beeps when somebody's stealing something.
Right, yeah. That one.
So every single person that walked through, the alarm went off.
Oh, man.
And this poor guy, this old guy, he's got to check everybody's bag. So it's going over and over again. I'm ready to, like, you know, freaking break it. You know what I mean? I'm starting kicking it. You know, shut up. You know, and I'm going into the store. I'm not coming out.
Right. Wow.
So unfortunately, I had to return something. So I had to see the old guy to get the return sticker so I can go to the desk. So at the same time, he's got me at the table. His guy comes through, and the machine goes off. Now, the guy's got two bags. One of the bags is very little,
yeah.
And the other one has a Subway sandwich in it. All
right.
So he pulls the guy over, and he's like, well, what do you got in the bag? And he pulls out one plastic razor. And he's looking at the plastic razor. So I had said to him, you better check the sandwich. Maybe he's got something hidden inside the sandwich. And he's going to try to get out, you know. He's tricking you with this plastic spoon, you know, plastic razor, whatever it was. Spoon, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
So they both look at me like I got cancer. You know, the old guy looks at me and goes, man, if he's got something hidden in his sandwich, I'm letting him go. That's pretty creative. And the guy with the sandwich got that look on me going, dude, how did you know?
Say
he's like, please, man. This guy looks at my sandwich, I'm kicking your ass.
Oh, man.
So I get in the store, and, you know, and it's pretty cool. I get exactly what I needed right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I go right to it, get it, and I'm not going there shopping, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have long lines now. But the thing is, you gotta be aware of the line of the register people.
Yeah,
there's certain register people
mm-hmm.
that are, and you gotta look and see who's standing in line.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If you have a long line and there's an exceptional amount of black people in that line, don't go in that line because you're gonna be there all day. Okay. Now, on the other hand, if there's like a 40-year-old guy or older at the register. Don't go in that line.
Because you don't get to take
because he's going to look at the register every time he turns his head. 26, look at the register. Bloop, 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 look at the register. Put the item in the bag, look at the register. Put the item in the bag, look at the register. Bloop, bloop, bloop. You know, and the guy's checking, and then he forgets that what he put in the bag, so he got pulled stuff out of the bag. Re-bleep it to make sure that he already bleeped it. And the guy at the counter is going, you know what, now you charge me twice for the cupcake mix.
I gotta
you know, now, you know what I mean? It's now I got $9.95 for a pack of cupcakes over here. Come on. You know, so you can't go in that line. So what you need to do is you need to get the a woman that's 35 to 45, That is in a fairly good mood.
Right.
She's whipping stuff through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anybody new, forget it. If you have a young black woman at the register, avoid it with all humanly possible. Because she's going to worry about her nails more than she's worried about if your kid gets to fucking come to the grip, G.I. Joe. You know, she's like,
right.
I don't want to break a nail.
Take
my advice. You're going to get through the Christmas shopping much easier.
Yep.
Always you have the opportunity of knocking out the guy with the bell for the bucket of money. Just in case, you know, you're running a little bit low.
That's right. So this time, I mean, it's, I don't know, education, you know, you've been, I mean, whenever you go, you hear this Christmas Christmas songs and Christmas music on Netflix.
Oh,
are you tired of it?
Oh,
I mean, I know they're going to do this Christmas story. At Christmas story, like, they're going to do, what, 24 hours.
Yeah, they do that every year. That's okay, because usually people get so doped up that they only remember, like, portions of it anyway. So you just keep the channel on for, like, no reason. Like, you watch it before in the morning, and it's always funny. It's a good I like that Christmas movie. My favorite is Miracle on 34th Street, the original.
Okay.
With Natalie Wood.
Yep.
And I really like that one. I think it's, you know, it's for family, but it's still really funny. It's got a lot to it. You're the people doing the kids show next door to the Studio B. They go crazy, don't they?
The kids, they go crazy. I think they have Barney.
Why do they have the Disney Channel on at 11 at night doing interviews? What school was that?
I don't know, man. They're just like, the kids nowadays, you know?
Yeah, pretty soon you're just going to have to do it right out of your house while your wife's cooking cookies.
that's right. Crazy we're going to be doing that.
What's this this story in the paper, just to go over some of the headlines, mom, kids found dead in home, what is that?
I don't know, that's the thing I want to do, Christmassy story, yeah, and that's what, I want to touch up on this, let's see what's your take on this, okay, is Santa's reindeers really boy or girl, does it really matter, I mean, this is like, there's an article over here and it says, well, actually, technically, Rudolph is a girl because, you know, that all this stuff that they said, they're more, Santa's reindeers were really females, more likely. That's Alice Blue McLendon, a veterinary medicine professor.
Oh, she probably got a U.S. grant to do that.
She's specializing in deer who cites the descriptions of Santa's helper with antlers as a primary evidence. That's what she says. What do you take on that?
You know, the telling somebody you're gay, too, so.
No, just one of them. Just one of them.
Just one. You know, if you get one in the crowd, pretty soon they're all Peter Puffin upstairs. You never know, because, you know, you're.
I
don't know. I think people are insane. They just want to get their name in the paper.
Exactly.
Talking about. Whether, you know, I know one thing. I follow the original Rudolph story.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that Rudolph, you ain't going to have a girl named Rudolph, okay? Vixen, on the other hand, you know.
Yeah.
You know, Donner could go both ways. Maybe it's a gay deer. Blitzen, you know, that's an alcoholic right there, you know. Dopehead, crackhead, you know, whatever you can find, you know. You know, just follows along everybody else. I just figured that on Christmas Eve,
Dasher.
Dasher, you know, yeah, methamphetamine freak, you know, Dasher or prostitute, you know.
Prancer, you know, that's the song.
Prancer, that's the prostitute.
Yeah, that's prostitute.
Or. Right, right. They do like deer dance strip clubs, you know, Dasher and Prancer in there, you know, every Thursday night.
Well, Vixen, what is
Vixen's
that?
Vixen's a woman, yeah.
The woman, that's
Comet is, Comet used to be Planet, but now it's Comet because it took Viagra. It's now Comet. And he's always clean, he's nice.
Well, this is a steward of...
Rudolph is German.
Rudolph? Yeah.
Rudolph is German, you know, he hates Jews, he hates blacks, you know. Rudolph is very, Rudolph's an asshole, yeah.
He's an anti-Semite?
He's an anti-Semite. He hates Mexicans, you know. He's like, man, you know, he really never goes out unless the weather's bad. So you know that he's going through Wisconsin. The weather's bad here every day.
Right.
I've never seen so much snow in my life.
Exactly.
I just want to know that, you know, as they're flying around the world and eating carrots from every place that they go, you know, they have to poop somewhere. So, you know, it's like, whose house is that really coal in that kid's stocking? Or is that, you know, deer shit? You know what I mean? I don't know.
Oh, man.
They call it coal.
They call it coal,
but, you know, Santa has to run around with a, you know, magic broom and bag to put all that in, so...
All right, let's change the subject over here. Well, in New York, is it really? I mean, if like say an ex-sex offender is trying to like be a Santa suit, would you let him do it in your mall?
Oh, absolutely. I let him do it at the children's center.
Yeah, well, apparently this article over here in New York, a sex offender is responsible for taking away some of the joy in the Postal Service operation in Santa Fe because he signed up. They're actually trying to do a background check on that. And then, if you have some kind of a background or anything that has to do with the child molestation or anything like that, they won't sign you up. I mean, would that be something like... is this discrimination, you know?
Only in America. I mean, Santa's a pedophile, Every kid's going to read this over the internet, what do you want for Christmas, Never trust a guy. Because when I was growing up, we had the George Wayne, John Wayne Gacy.
Gentleman Gacy in Chicago,
yeah,
right?
And he always dressed as a clown.
As a clown, there you go.
Clowns are very creepy on their own.
Right.
But now, when I was a kid, every clown was somebody who was going to grab you, give you the business and bury you in the yard somewhere. And so we were now at Santa, On Halloween, it's razor blades in the candy. On Christmas, Santa Claus is a pedophile. We might as well just fucking blow ourselves up. You know what I mean? We can't have Santa. And pretty soon they're going to tell you that pedophile Santa kills mom and kids in a home in somewhere in Texas.
Somewhere in Texas. All right. I mean, I know that you've, followed the news and everything with this shoe-throwing guy.
Right.
Shoe-throwing guy.
I never laughed so hard in my entire life. I swear, that was the funniest thing I ever seen. And the first thing that popped into my head was the Secret Service. The Secret Service is supposed to dive in front of the president.
They came in the back, but he came back
to her. That guy stood behind him like, I ain't going there. Them shoes could be explosive. that dude that was in the airplane with the explosive shoe?
Yeah.
That dude could have, C4 in that tennis
exactly.
shoe.
Exactly.
But to see George Bush dodging those shoes was just incredibly funny. That guy was just...
He made fun of it, too. He was
you have to. I mean,
yeah.
And that's the only kind of story that President Bush is going to get from now on. he's got one more month till he's out of
right.
it. And, that's the only kind of publicity he's going to get,
Yep.
People throwing shit at him,
Well, he's taken worse than that, there's a lot of Bush haters out there. No, there's actually a site that you can go to and check, thanksforthrowingyourshoe.com.
Nice.
Yeah.
That guy's going to be, he's going to have his own television show.
Yeah.
It would matter if he at the Pickway show, too.
The media, yeah. Media would lift him up real good on that one, especially. Well, the guy that threw his shoe is actually, basically a local hero over there in the Middle East. But that's the funny thing in that is, the agent, after he threw that the second shoe, they all came out looking around,
heart.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Oh yeah, the Secret Service had no clue. They just let him get hit with the shoe. I bet you if that guy would have pulled on the bazooka, the Secret Service would have been the first one at home. Hop in the car, let's go, man. This place, he's out of here. It was like, if the Secret Service weren't paranoid enough about protecting George Bush, now protecting George Bush after he's not the president anymore, oh, my God. They're like, oh, I can't believe you put me on that detail. Like the worst Secret Service men. The guys that are like one right up away from getting fired. These are the guys that are protected points.
Right. Oh, man. Now, speaking of Secret Service, I know that Obama's coming up in a couple weeks here. And
meaning inaugural?
Yeah. There's talks about beefing up the... There's only like a thousand... They're talking about like thousands of troops. They point right over in the White House in Washington there just to protect them. I mean, do you think that they need that much? That many, many troops or security?
Well, bro, you only need five guys to stand around them. What is the troops going to do?
Well, they did try to protect him.
Start killing people in the audience. You know?
Right. Oh, he has a toothpick. You know, shoot him.
Yeah. Well, you know. I mean, come on, bro. If you have a pedophile sandwich, I'm not hungry.
Are you hungry again, Billy? Yeah.
Jeez, a cracker.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, it's all a waste of money to me.
Yeah.
Let them do it from inside a place in a room. If they're not, you know, if you're going to spend that much money, put them in the basement of the White House. Let them do it from there over live circuit television.
That's right.
And,
you know,
there you go.
And just put up an Obama dummy or something, you know? That just
right. I mean, being the week of Kwanzaa, I'm sure that the Obamas are having a really fine Christmas holiday.
That's right. Now, I want to talk about toys that... you know, do you ever get toys as a kid for Christmas? I know you mentioned about that football.
Right,
game,
right. We mostly got food. But we got toys.
You can play with,
know.
We can play
I
with
was thinking about I was today. I was thinking about toys that were useless. The toys that you got, it was the like 2 days after Christmas, they were never seen again. Like the Etch and Sketch. Like, what a useless thing. Like, what do you do with an Etch-a-Sketch? Like, I can't even write my name, dude. Like, it's like, oh, where is it? I can do stairs. Like, I got stairs going up. I got stairs going down. I got stairs going up. I got, let's erase it. I got stairs going up. I got stairs going down. You know, or you just sit there and go round and round and round and round and round. I mean, that's the stupidest thing. And, in the slinky. Like, how long did the slinky? It went down the steps, out the door, in the yard. The dog grabbed it, got it hung around his neck. Everybody's pulling the slinky. You always try to choke your friend with it or use it for handcuffs. I mean, you know, the slinky. What a stupid toy, you know? Like, useless. Like, why would you spend that money on it? Give me the $1.86. I'll save $1.86 and get a pack of cigarettes. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That's, yeah. That,
I love the games that were dangerous. Like, my grandmother would only buy me toys that she could use later on to beat me with. like Hot Wheel tracks. Like, I really wanted a Hot Wheel track. I mean, I was like, I got all these Hot Wheels, and I was so into Hot Wheels, and I was like, Grandma, want to get some Hot Wheel tracks? I promise, you know, I won't do anything with them. I'll let them sit in the box. I won't use them. Hot Wheel tracks, right? No, you can't have any Hot Wheel tracks. You can't have any Hot Wheel tracks. I can't afford no Hot Wheel tracks. So finally we were doing some shopping around Christmas at Kmart.
And, oh, still around?
Yeah, it was then. It was 1970.
Right.
And Kmart was like the biggest store ever. You know? That's where I got everything. My clothes, my toys, my toilet paper, whatever. And we were going through the aisle, and I was like, let me show you what the Hot Wheel tracks. Let me show you the Hot Wheel tracks. I show her the Hot Wheel tracks, and just this bright light of enjoyment came over her face.
Now, this is when you're, 32?
I was closer to 40.
All right.
I guess 7 or 8.
Must be hard for you when you...
She saw the Hot Wheel tracks, and right away I wasn't thinking. But, like, 3 months later, like, they're laying around the house or whatever, and Christmas is forgotten about... And, like, I'm 7 or 8. I'm in the backyard smoking a cigarette. And she busts me, you know. I smell tobacco on you. And she grabs the Hot Wheel track and puts welts all over my ass. And then she was like, always, I can always get more Hot Wheel tracks, you know, because you can always use that to beat me with. And then she'd light the end of it on fire, and it would go voop, voop. Hot plastic would pour from it in flames, and, you know, she would put that on my forehead.
Kind of torture with it. kind of and again, you know, if you hear that Chinese torture with the water dripping on your forehead.
Yeah, it was hot wax.
But it was hot wax.
Hot, like not wax, hot rubber.
Melting
hot rubber on your forehead because you smoked when you were 8. So that didn't discourage me from not smoking. That just encouraged me not to get caught.
That's so, stuff.
But one time, she actually, I guess I was about 14.
Uh-huh.
And this is great. I guess I was about 14, and I'm way overweight, so she, you know, she's done using her hands to hit me now. It's using buckets or shoes, you know, something she can toss from across the room that's definitely going to get your attention, okay?
Like cats?
Anything. Whatever was a candle, stick, whatever was... We didn't have animals in the house.
Your grandfather?
Grandpa. Oh, we'll go into that later. Grandpa wasn't around. Where was I? I lost my
story. I don't know.
I was about 14.
Okay.
And I had in my pocket, I had a large plastic bag
mm-hmm.
full of marijuana seeds. Now, I can't remember where I got them or what I was doing with them. Well, of course I was going to go grow one. But why I had, it was like 2 ounces, you know, and I mean, that's a lot of seeds, you know.
That's right.
And she finds them in my pocket and she's like, these are marijuana seeds. And, you know, she was, like, going to call the police. I mean, this was like she was whipping me. I was getting hit with a bucket. and I'm going, no, they're not. They're marigolds. They're, you know, daisies. They're not marijuana. So my uncle came in at that time when she was freaking out. And I was like, Uncle Bill, man, you got to save me, you know.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, he's like, no, they're not marijuana seeds. I know marijuana seeds. They're not marijuana seeds. They're like marigolds or, you know, whatever he just said.
Right.
And she believed him. And she takes the seeds, right? Now, I don't know what she did with them, right? She takes them, story over, I run out, you know.
Right.
Never hear.
You're off
3 weeks later,
uh-huh.
I'm outside on the back porch with my friends. And we happen to look. And there's like 70 marijuana plants growing in the yard.
So she actually
threw them out into the yard,
and
then some of them started to grow. There was thousands of seeds. So my friends were like, dude, man, your grandmother's grown weed, dude. She's awesome, you know? Oh, my God.
That's... You know, like, if she probably thought it was like sunflower seeds, you know, it's like, hey, I'm going to get me sunflower seeds.
Just tossed them out in the yard, didn't know it, now she got arrested for helicopters flying over the house and shit. She's like the Manuel Noriega of pot in Pennsylvania. Calling her Scarface.
So it's like the most popular one in Cell Block 2.
We were talking about movies. I wanted to just to jump back about movies. Did you ever notice that Christmas is a day that movies come out? Like, they put new movies out on Christmas,
right?
Thanksgiving, day mm-hmm. before Thanksgiving,
yeah.
Christmas Day. It's a big movie day, Christmas.
Oh,
day.
Yeah.
Big family. I love to go to the movies on Christmas. You know, mm-hmm. it's a tradition, but... did you ever notice how dark and disturbing the movies that come out on Christmas?
Exactly.
Friday the 13th, Christmas, Black Sunday. just the creepiest, bloodiest, The Unborn. Christmas.
Yeah.
The Unborn. Wait a minute. I thought we were talking about Jesus being born.
Right.
And they're talking about zombies mm-hmm. and... It's insane.
Yeah, whatever happened back in the day.
Christmas movies come out in October, and horror movies come out at Christmas.
Christmas, yeah.
And horror movies come out at Halloween because
right.
So more and more horror movies are being made. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to make a movie, make it something with blood and guts, and you'll be a billionaire.
On the Christmas day.
On
the Christmas Eve.
Show
yeah.
Santa getting decapitated. Or show the movie where Santa's a pedophile and going around killing children and shit. On Christmas.
Right, or reindeer's all gay.
Yeah, reindeers are gay. Show them all like the new reindeer and what was happening on the little town of Misfit Toys, you know. Oh, they were all like, you know, it was like an abomination, Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, you got Barbies messing around with other Barbies.
Elves from Mexico and all the
elves from Mexico because they're all pretty short anyway.
Illegal immigrants.
Illegal elf immigrants. That's awesome. I could show them all at the border.
That's right. Backpacking that thing, you know, so I get the. Get the shoe-throwing guy in there.
The shoe-throwing guy, yeah.
The shoe-throwing guy. That's going to be, you know, they're actually doing that on Saturday Night Live and all that stuff. I mean, comedians and you know, big, like Saturday Night Live, I mean, I don't know if, I think I've seen that one on YouTube. Yeah, I kind of touch up on that. You know, it's like, throw my shoes for $1 or something like that, but it was, it's pretty funny. Pretty funny.
Hey, that isn't a bad idea. You could put the president in one of those water tanks. Instead of throwing a shoe, you know, ball, you can throw a shoe. He could, like, the dunking cage.
Right.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I think Santa's in the next room.
Yeah.
Murdering a kid. Over at the Disney studio.
The Disney studio. I think Jamie Lynn Spears over to having a baby again.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like, I'm going to name the kid Pickles. Pickle Spears.
Yeah, Pickle Spears. Since after an hour, let me take a pause for like 30 seconds real quick, and we'll come back with Dealer Products. Hold on a second. I needed a break. I had to take a big something.
Or a little something.
Or a little something. Now, we... welcome again.
Puerto Ricans, you know.
Filipinos, man. Don't get all mixed up.
Filipinos. Puerto Ricans.
No, we're like... Filipinos are like more... Like a,
yeah.
Like Puerto Ricans
and
Asians.
What the hell is the difference?
Puerto Ricans and Asian community, you know, it's like how Puerto Ricans and Hispanic community, you know, we're like that. We feel you, brothers. We feel you, Puerto Ricans.
Just to let you know, I went to the wrong place.
What?
When I
yeah, on the way to the studio, yeah.
And the Mexican lady came
yep.
to the door, and I said, "Is this, you know, where I find Fernando?" And she's like, "Fernando? I don't know, Fernando Batavati." I said, "I don't know his last name is. Fernando Batavati. I don't know. Is he French? I don't know. What are you speaking?" "I know Gustavo. Would you like to come to Gustavo?" I said, "No, I'm looking for, never mind. You know, it's freaking snowing. Shut up."
Oh, man. No, man, that's, you know, I don't have any family. I mean, they all look like my family, you know, around here, but they, you know, they're not my family, you know.
Now that I look at you, I can tell you have some kind of before, you know,
like
skin color.
The skin color, yeah, because I'm cool like that. So it's like I'm Filipino, but I'm dark.
Yeah.
I can be dark and I'm Filipino,
yeah,
so, and I can be like, you know, like back in Chicago when I was there.
Right.
You know, I can go like.
You can also pass for Japanese or Chinese.
Really? But there's no, I've not seen any like dark skin.
Maybe the Fu Manchu look.
Right, there you go. This is, yeah, this one like just like yours. You know, this is it, man. The thing. But speaking of family, any I know that last name Bronick. Any
yeah, Bronick isn't my real name.
Right, exactly. Have you been to a family reunion lately? Anything like that? Because
I don't really have that large of a family anymore.
What happened to you?
I was one of the youngest. My grandmother had 11 brothers and sisters.
Oh my goodness!
And my parents passed away. As far as I knew, when I was one. So.
Okay, and then.
So my family was all my grandmother's brothers and sisters.
Okay.
So they didn't really. They had family reunions, but it would only be when somebody died.
So it's like a funeral.
Well,
they call it a family reunion because that's what you want to get together.
What happened is my grandmother, by the time I was like five, my grandmother was already in the 60s.
Oh, my.
So her brother, and she was one of the youngest of her brothers and sisters. So they were, we have family reunion like every, 36 days. And the thing was, it was like family reunion. Like, we have no, the pictures that you have on your end table, like family pictures and everything.
Right.
They're all at the funerals. Then, they took that stuff serious. The Irish take funerals serious. So there I was in the casket, with the dead person. They're holding up the corpse, smiling. They got their hands around them, One guy's straightening up the dead guy's tie. One guy's holding a sandwich because they always brought food. And speaking of that, I'll tell you something. I got two stories that I really want to tell you.
Okay.
And we're talking about funerals and family reunions. My grandmother's brother, Joe, died.
Okay.
And he lived in New York.
Okay.
My grandmother told us, that we were going to go to New York to the funeral.
Mm.
So we only had maybe a day or so to get our stuff together and to get a flight to LaGuardia Airport.
Okay.
My grandmother starts to cook. Now, she cooks a 20-pound ham,
mm-hmm.
a 34-pound turkey,
oh my goodness,
stuffing, potato salad, macaroni salad, mashed potatoes.
Man, I'm getting hungry.
Hunky salad. Hunky salad is just vegetables with vinegar.
Okay.
Now she's cooking all this food. The food is done the minute that we leave from the airport.
Okay.
Now, she wraps all the food up in all these pans with foil all around it. And each family member got to carry a dish. Like, we don't have luggage. We got food.
You want to check
it? We're pulling to the airport. My Uncle Phil, she never took it out of the basting pan. So basically, my Uncle Bill got to sit for 25 minutes to get to the airport with a 400-degree basting pan wrapped in foil. I'm holding macaroni salad. My sister's holding the ham. We go to the airport. Now, my uncle's this, very... he looked kind of like, back then, he looked kind of like Michael Douglas.
Okay.
Very good-looking guy. Always, very vain. Combing and looking at his hair all the time. Always fixing something. And he's got to carry his ham, or his turkey.
Right.
And he's got the turkey. And the turkey's, with everything in it, stuffing and, this is a, this is like 50 pounds. And it's 400 degrees. Now, it hasn't dropped that, but maybe dropped to 300 by the time we get to the airport.
But still, yeah.
Now, we have to take the food onto the plane. My grandmother's screaming at all of us, better not drop this food. We're trying to tell her, Grant, they got food in New York. We don't have to bring food to New York. Uncle Joe wasn't homeless. You know, they're gonna have food there. You know, she thought, you know, instead of bringing flowers to the funeral,
right,
she'd bring a turkey. The airplane we get on, now that's after putting everything through the x-ray machine.
Right.
You know, potato salad, you know, and then they got this, the bones of a turkey going through, you know, like we got a bomb hidden inside the fucking turkey. And this is true, and we, you know, we go out and we get onto the airplane, and my uncle's still got to hold his band, and he's flipping off. And my grandmother's smacking him every time. Shut up. Quit complaining. If you're embarrassed, go home. Every time. And she holds rosaries in her hand. So there's like 19 incantations of the crucifix on his forehead. The plane smells like Thanksgiving. People in the plane are going, that is the most wonderful smell. There's people drinking wine, smoking cigarettes in the back. They're like, this is a, put on a football game. You know, this is awesome. We get off the plane and have to drive 45 minutes to the funeral. We in a cab.
Mm-hmm.
So we get in a cab. We got to bring all the food into the cab. The guy from India is driving the cab. It's like, we're pulling in, you know, he wants to help up the luggage. My uncle's begging him, grab the pan, grab the pan. I can't, his hands are boiling hot, you know. Now he's like hungry, you know, everybody's hungry now. I'm all trying to get through the foil, picking out the skin, you know, I'm on an airplane. Like, it was only like a 40-minute flight, you know.
Right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like, I got potato salad all over myself. I'm like, I need another soda. I need another soda. You know? Oh man!
So.
But that's that was a funeral at Uncle Joe's.
Mm.
We showed up with a whole bunch of food, and then we set it up like a buffet.
Right. Like
so
a long
basically,
table.
You know, you would get like turkey or salad, macaroni salad, mashed potatoes. Then you would like pray to the casket.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would get a beer, some ice, and stuff, and pour. You know, he was like right in the middle of the buffet. Like, he used to surround it with flowers, so we surrounded it with food. You know, and we got cold cuts, and you know, like, he's cold anyway, so we put the beer inside the casket. Oh, that was fun.
Oh man, that was funny. Now you mentioned about your grandfather. I mean, did you grow? Did you
grandmother?
Like, grandmother. You know, I know
she raised me. Like my
yeah.
mom died when I was one. My father left. Well, she was pregnant, but they always told me that he was dead. And then when I met him, I realized why. But he is dead now.
No, she's the one that, you know, paraphrasing, is that, you know, that one came up with a shout-out that will make a man out of you.
Oh, yeah, she was great. Yeah, she was great with that.
Shut up, Billy!
Yeah, she was. You know, I have a lawn dart stuck in my forehead. Shut up, it'll make a man out of you. Get your hoochie, go to bed. You know, you'd have a broken arm, and then she'd beat you for that, and then she'd like wrap your arm in pancake batter or something until it got hard. You know, she's like, I don't know, you know, where you put a steak on your eye.
Right.
She'd put a steak on an open wound. You know, put the food on it. You know, crack an egg on it or something. But you know, we were pretty poor, bro.
Okay.
And everybody got home remedies, you know.
Right.
You know, the old people, they got home remedies, bro, because they didn't have nothing.
Right.
You know, they went through, my grandmother went through the Depression, you know what I mean?
Yep.
The Great Depression.
The great one.
So we used to get, you know, about 50 cents to go see a movie.
Wow.
And,
yeah, whatever happened to that?
A buck on the weekend, you know.
Right. Man.
And we would get the 50 cents,
mm-hmm.
but we wouldn't have no money for popcorn or anything like that. So we used to say, you know, can we get a couple bucks, you know, to, you know, can I get like something, you know, for a hot
right.
dog or something.
Right. Yeah.
And she's like, no. I was like, well, what if I get hungry, you know? She says, well, here's what you do. She says, go to the water fountain and drink as much water until you can't drink anymore, until it's coming out of your nose, and then have somebody punch you in the stomach. It worked. I was not hungry for like 8 hours. Because I was going to try it. I was like, come on, hit me. You were so, you didn't look at food. And it worked. And I was like, wow, they really knew how to cure hunger back then. Drink water, punch yourself. That's awesome.
That's right.
Anyways, that's it for me.
Oh, man. Well, it's really great having you here tonight. You know, I appreciate you coming up in my studio and to do this, and hopefully, you know.
We have about 5 more minutes. I'd really love to tell you a Christmas story.
Go right ahead.
It's a true Christmas. It's a true Christmas story, and it's not comedy. It's just a Christmas story about my grandmother.
Okay.
My grandmother was diagnosed with cancer, and she was not doing too well, but she never missed church. Ever. So she would get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and walk to 6 o'clock mass. Well, I was at the age at that time where I was getting blown out every night. I would come home at 5 a.m. and she was leaving. So about one time about 4:45, I'm coming home and there's this dog. No, wait a minute. Let me reverse. The day prior to this day,
mm-hmm.
she was walking to church, and she was robbed.
Okay.
And the guy took her purse and ran down the railroad tracks. And my grandmother had chased him down the railroad tracks.
Oh, wow.
You know, give me my purse. And she didn't have any money.
Right.
All she had was her prayer book.
Right.
She wanted her prayer book.
Yeah.
So finally, somehow somebody called the police. The police show up, get my grandmother, and my grandmother's ecstatic and she's mad. She's just angry. And she's like, one of the police officers were black and one of the police officers were white.
Okay.
And she turns to the black police officer and says, black guys should have to wear taps on their shoes so I can hear them coming. As the police told me, they brought her home. But anyway, the next day,
her bells.
give us a shot. You know what I mean? Give us something. You know, like a head start. Right here, you know, you're already an Olympic speed runner. I'm 80 years old. Give me a head start. Okay, let me get prepared. You know. So the next day, I'm coming home, 4:05 a.m. I get to the house, and there's a dog on the front porch. It's just a mangy old lab-type dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like somebody's been kicking around for years. Laying on the porch. And right next to him, on the chair on the porch, mm-hmm. is a cat.
Okay.
And I'm like, get out of here. Shoot. Get out of here. So I like, chase it down the alley, maybe 20 feet, and it would take off until it got maybe about 30 feet away from me, and then it would lay down. And I was like, what the? You know, the cat walks across the alley and sits on the porch across the street. I said, well, if it sits on that porch, okay. Get off my porch. But the dog would lay there, and then as I went back to the house, the dog would get up and come back onto the porch. And I couldn't figure out what the heck was going on.
Right.
So I kept looking through the door. Every time I closed the door, I kept looking out the window. And the dog would come back onto the porch, and I'd open the door up and say, shoot.
Right.
So Graham's getting ready to leave for work. And I said, you got to beware. There's a dog out there, you know, and I don't know. So I opened the door, and I'm like, I'll walk you down. She's like, I don't want you to walk me down. You know, you're drunk. You're embarrassing me. You know, you smell like dope. I don't want you going down there. We're going to church. Anyways, the dog looked like gone.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of followed Graham. As
uh-huh.
she walked down the alley, I walked behind her maybe 150 feet or so.
Right.
And the dog and the cat both, like, when she took off down the alley, the dog and the cat both walked behind her. And they walked and followed her all the way to church. They stayed on the church steps until church was over, and they walked behind her all the way home every day for the rest of her life. And in the daytime, you didn't see the dog, didn't know where it came from, didn't have any idea whose dog it was. Nobody was missing the dog. I asked everybody. They'd never seen the dog. But every morning, that dog was on the front porch and followed my grandmother to church every morning.
Oh, wow.
Until she passed away. It was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that's something, man. It's just like the dog just showed up.
Spirit, you know, it's,
yeah.
Watching over.
Yeah, so the dog just showed up all one morning. And
the day after she was robbed,
stayed
with her until she couldn't go to church anymore.
Oh, wow. That's something. Yeah.
Stayed on her, the dog and the cat, both. The dog and the cat walked side by side, followed all the way to church and back.
Huh.
She didn't feed them. She didn't give them anything.
They just there.
They were just there.
Hmm. Wow.
It was pretty amazing. It's true.
Pretty, you know, unexpected.
Well, thank you, Fernando. I'll see you later.
No problem, man. We'll talk to you later. Well, thank you for being here again. You know, I'm looking forward to do this again or listen to your own show. You know, it's like I know that you're going to be, your own show.
I'm going to spend a little time yet before I get my own show. I'm really happy to come back again and do it.
We'll do this.
Maybe anywhere for the winter.
Oh, okay. Maybe we'll do it in Studio B.
Studio B with
the kid, yeah.
In the Sand of the Pedophile. That'll be great. We'll make it a special show. A special event.
Okay, listener, this is up. We are wrapping up here. Again, this show is brought to you by ShopInSuperHighway.com. You can go to ShopInSuperHighway.com to start your if you haven't done so, the Christmas shopping. Okay, you can go there. Sign up to be a preferred customer, and you can earn rewards. So ShopInSuperHighway.com. That's brought to you by this Bill of Products. Again, once again, this is it.
Pretty fat.